Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton in Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to have you with us this morning. This morning, the first Sunday after Easter, we gather here as a church that's striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God. And we hope that something that we sing together or say together or pray together this morning would help draw you closer to the one who created you, who loves you, and who knows you by name. As we gather this morning, I just want to celebrate a wonderful Holy Week that took place just a little over a week ago. It feels like a month ago, I have to tell you, but it was a beautiful service here on Easter morning. All throughout Holy Week, we're grateful for folks who participated in Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, Palm Sunday, and on Easter morning. It was a wonderful week here at the church, and we're grateful for all the ministries that took place here. I wanted to share with you that we're starting a new sermon series, and we're thrilled to have Reverend Faith Fowler from Cass Community United Methodist Church here to preach and begin this sermon series. And if you haven't heard Reverend Fowler before, I'm here to tell you, you are in for a treat. And we're so grateful, Faith, for your presence here in our midst. We're grateful to have you share about the work of Cass Community Social Services in Detroit and all of the amazing things that are taking place there. And I want to share with you a couple of announcements that are taking place in the life of our church. Vacation Bible School and camping and theater camp are three different distinct opportunities for people to, if you'd like to engage your children in ministries over the course of the summer, there are opportunities to go up north to Lake Louise or participate in the summer theatrical program that takes place, theater camp here at the church. We'll also be doing Vacation Bible School. And speaking on behalf of Pastor Lindsay, we also would love to have you volunteer. If you've never volunteered at Vacation Bible School before, it's an incredible opportunity to invest in the next generation of students at our church. So we hope that you'll sign up for that. If you can volunteer for one day, that's great. If you can volunteer for all the days, that's even better. But we'll take you, even if you're willing to give one day of your time, I promise you will not regret that opportunity. Secondly, we've got softball teams getting started. I just went to the manager meeting this year. Yours truly is going to be managing the men's team, and I'm so excited about it. I can't wait for softball to start. So if you're interested in playing, please let me know. We'd love to have you on our team. We're just getting everything organized for that. And Lori Cockrell will be managing the women's team. So we're excited about participating in the league this summer. Third, there's a men's retreat taking place in a couple of weeks. It'll be up at Lake Louise. If you like swinging a hammer or fixing stuff that's broken, the men's retreat is actually not relaxing and just sitting around. We have encouraged folks to join us so that we can put you to work. You know, that's how we roll when we go on retreat, is we go up to Lake Louise and we fix stuff that's broken up at the camp to open it up for the students who will be there this summer. If you'd like to join us, it'll be April 24th through the 26th, and we'll have a wonderful time up north if you're able to join us for a couple days for that. So over the next 3 weeks, in the midst of this sermon series about God's creation, I wanted to share with you that there will be presentations each of these 3 weeks. So today, inside the community room at 1 o'clock, there will be a presentation from our green team and also some information about solar energy and the vision, that the dream that we have of installing some solar panels here at our campus at Brighton. It's a dream at this point. It's not a plan. It's just a hope for, but we'll be sharing about that. Next week at 1 o'clock, there will be an opportunity for people to do cleanups here at Brighton, at Whitmore Lake, and at a pathway between our two church campuses. If you would like to participate in Earth Day by walking around and helping clean up trash, we would love to have you next Sunday at 1 p.m. And then 2 weeks from now, We'll do a blessing of the animal service at Whitmore Lake at 1 o'clock. So you can bring your arachnids, your dogs, your cats, your tigers, horses, whatever you may have. You're welcome to bring them. We will bless them. Some of them we will touch, and some of them we will rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to bless from afar. So we encourage you to bring any pets you may be bringing on leashes. So bring your pigs, your horses, your donkeys. We will bless them all, and we look forward to that. Finally, in the pew back in front of you, there are yellow prayer cards, and we would just feel honored and privileged to be able to pray alongside you and with you for the things that are going on in your life or perhaps in the life of somebody that you care about. And we encourage you to take a moment, fill out those prayer cards. You can put them in the offering plate as they go by. And each and every week, there are folks on the clergy team and the pastoral care team that pray over those concerns. And so we encourage you to take a moment to fill that out if there's anything that we can be praying alongside you about. And with that, I want to encourage you to stand as you're able and join us in our opening hymn, "This Is My Father's World." Let us stand and sing unto the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, celebrate the magnificence of your creation. Give us a deep reverence and a genuine respect for all the environments and creatures you have made. Give us opportunities to learn and act so that we can become better stewards of all you have created. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
We have several different verses that we're going to be reading this morning, but the first one is Genesis 1, 3 through 5. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning on that first day. Then we go to the Psalms. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set forth a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit is to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, then. Forgive me, I never preach with shoes on. I'll stop there, though, just in case you're worried. I want to begin by thanking Pastor John for the invitation to come here to Brighton. We feel a very strong partnership with this congregation. You send a team down every single month. Let me name some of them: Laura and Mike, Greg and Barb and Carolyn and Rob and Bob and others show up occasionally. And the thing about the team I really love is they'll do whatever we tell them to do. So I'm half tempted to take them home with me, as there are things at home I liked your work mission time away. So just a big shout out to that group. There are very few teams that come and just say yes to anything. And trust me, they've done some anything kind of job. So we are grateful to them and to you on their behalf. We're grateful for Sue Patoot, who came out of this church and has worked with us now for about a decade or more. She would know the exact year, I don't. But she is an organizer, an administrator, a taskmaster. And some days we don't like that. But we need it every day, and so we're grateful to her and for you for sending her our way. I don't know, did you watch all the Artemis II stuff this week, the last 10 days? Were you absorbed in the pictures that launched, the landing, the photos of the galaxies and the moon with the earth in the background? And I watched it. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Actually, it took me back in time. I'm that old. Some of you may not be that old, but it took me back to Christmas 1968. I was just a baby. And three men, Frank Borman and James Lovell and William Andrews, left the Earth again to circle the moon and come back. It was before they actually landed on the moon and walked on the moon and had that great line about one small step, one large leap, whatever. You remember that, right? That's not why I remember it. I remember it because they went up and the takeoff was flawless, and that's important to me because so many times we've had accidents, right? Sometimes accidents that ended up with people dying, really fine people who had given their life to our country and the advance of science and all that good stuff. So to realize that it was a good launch, and then I remember Frank saying, "This is Apollo 8 coming to you from the moon," which I find unusual because I can't get my cell phone to work in a garage. That it would work from the moon is pretty spectacular. But one of the achievements of that is they did some broadcasts from the moon, and the three men at that point who were astronauts took turn reading the first 10 verses from the book of Genesis. Do you remember that? It starts, as you well know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved across the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And I envisioned being on, I don't know that I'd ever go on a spaceship, I'm probably too old and feeble at this point, but when I was younger, I thought, what would it be like to circle the moon and to leave the sunlight and just be in darkness? I don't know. I know when I started at CAS, we'd take the kids skiing on Martin Luther King Day, because we'd go that day up north, the schools were still open and schools in Detroit were closed, and I thought they'd be alone on the slopes to, you know, kill themselves. And but my favorite thing to do was to take them off the highway and turn off the headlights, and it went pitch black, you know, because you're out in the country, and all these rough, tough city kids, so schooled, and they'd scream, which I think is the job of any pastors, to make the kids scream. Because they'd never seen darkness like that before. I imagine circling the moon, all of a sudden, we'd scream. Maybe for fear, maybe just to experience something absolutely new, and then to come around back into the break of day, morning is broken, right? That let there be light. How amazing that must have felt. And all of it reminds me, of course, is that this world we live on, this planet we share, belongs to God, the Creator. And I wish that was the reason we started doing green stuff at CAS. It really wasn't. I'm sort of an accidental environmentalist. What happened is everybody needed jobs. Back in 2007, 2008, even though they always needed jobs before that because they didn't have what was required to secure employment, they didn't have a phone, they didn't have an address, they didn't have a reference, they didn't have a car. Some of them had been to prison. Nobody wanted to take a chance. I mean, all those things added up, and then a recession, and they needed jobs. And I remember reading an article about a Native American tribe from Oklahoma that was taking tires and turning them into mats. And I thought, well, we've got a really big problem in Detroit. We have illegally dumped tires everywhere. Riding into Brighton, I didn't see a single tire. You don't know what you're missing. Tires are great neighbors. They collect water. You don't need a rain barrel. They just collect water. It's a great place for insects to, you know, mate and have more insects. People are worried about pollinator plants. Just put some tires by your house. And rodents, they love tires. In they come, mice and rats, in case you were wanting those, you know, as a next door neighbor. And occasionally in Detroit, somebody comes along who has mental health issues and will set them on fire. So then, you know, then you don't need a campfire. You sit around with your marshmallows because it's going to burn for days and it's going to create all kinds of pollution. I thought to myself, wow, what a great idea. Because we'd have free resources to make mats and we'd be able to employ homeless men who nobody wants to hire right now, but they need money. So I called up the tribe. Now you're going to know what a knucklehead I am. And I said, you know, we stole your land. Now I'd like to steal your idea. And fortunately, the man on the other end, I don't know what leader he was, but he was a leader, I could tell. He started laughing. I believe in grace. Actually, I believe in confession. You start with the truth, right? And then he gave us everything we needed to set up this mud mat factory. It was the beginning of Green Industries at CAS. It was the beginning of me thinking, you have two problems. You have poverty and unemployment, and you have a planet that's in trouble. And if you can bring the two planets, the two problems together with God, by the way, you can come up with a solution almost every time. So we started, you know, recycling tires. We've picked up to date, since 2007, we've picked up and repurposed, turned into mats, sold them to create the employment program, 250,000 tires. Yeah. The thing is, we're not going to run out. People keep dumping them. That's the issue. When you go to have your tires changed, you pay to have them dealt with properly, but some stations, some people bring them into the city, or they're already in the city, and they dump them on vacant lots and just leave them. So, you know, we can keep making mats, and they're good for 100,000 miles. That was really the beginning. Then the next thing is we work with people who are developmentally disabled, and once they saw the homeless people were making money, they wanted to make money. And the truth is, I couldn't think of a job that they could handle, most of them, because they can't read. They'll never read. And it took a lot of thinking and praying, and finally we came up with the notion of starting a shredding business, where you take sensitive information from doctors and lawyers and accountants and other people, and you promise them that you'll shred it and then send it off to be recycled. And it started as a really small proposition. I went to Office Max and bought 3 shredders, and we hired I probably spent $100. You know how frugal I am. But the thing is, we hired 5 people. 2 people took off the paper clips, and then the other people, 3 sheets at a time. It took us about a year to do a ton of paper. But they like the work, they like the money, they like getting watches and shoes and hats and going out to the movies and going out to the restaurants. And so then about a year in, after we saw it work, we got bigger shredders, and we hired 15 people. We didn't have to take off the paper clips anymore, and it took us about 6 months, and we did a ton of paper. But it's important to know that at that time, Detroit didn't have any recycling, none. All of our garbage was going into the incinerator, where it was burned. And why I think we have such high asthma rates in the city of Detroit. Now, the good news is 2 years ago it closed, but until then. So I talked to my doctor and lawyer friends and said, look, give me your paper. We won't charge you anything at first. And I can promise you it's safe. We got the bells and the buzzers and the rings and the cameras. But beyond that, the people who are going to shred your paper, they can't read, write, remember, or tell anything that's in it. So, you know, it could have the secrets to nuclear bombs and you'd be safe at Cass, right? honest to goodness. So then we went into this big competition, which is a much longer story than you have time for, and we won it. We got this industrial size shredder and baler. Maybe some of you have actually worked on it. And we can do a ton of paper an hour. I know. Do you want to know how much we do?
Yes.
We do 100 tons a year. For people who can't read or write or remember. You see, you think there are problems, you think there's no solutions until you pray really hard. And then God, as they say at my church, can make a way out of no way, sees possibilities and opportunities that we just don't see because we don't have that bird's eye perspective from the moon looking at the planet. So then we went into solar, and I'm a big believer in solar. We did it at first to, of course, create jobs for people. We did dusk to dawn solar lighting so that we wouldn't have to pay to protect people and things by having more light. And at that point in the city of Detroit, none of our streetlights worked. Remember when you were little and your mom or dad said, come home when the streetlights go on? The kids in Detroit were out for a couple decades. We underdug and got streetlights again, so I'm grateful for that. But we started doing simple lights that we hung all over buildings, sometimes for seniors, sometimes for businesses, sometimes for cast. And then we learned how to make a very simple generator that takes solar light and creates electricity that you could plug in small things, right? Your computers, your cell phones, that sort of stuff. And then we went to Puerto Rico after Maria hit. And the reason was, I heard and read that they weren't going to have any electricity for a year. Now imagine being a diabetic. What do you need? Insulin. What does insulin need? Refrigeration. You have no refrigeration, you're going to be in trouble. So we took some of the people from Green Industries and we flew to San Juan and we coordinated with the bishop there and we lit up 100 homes. But my favorite story is one of the guys who went with us, I said to him, standing in the airport, there we are with all our solar stuff, because getting it there was a bit of a problem. But I said, have you ever been to an island before? And he says to me, yeah, Reverend Fowler, I've been to Bablo. We landed Atlanta before we get to Puerto Rico, and he comes running up to, we weren't in the same place on the plane. He says, I forgot, I've been to Belle Isle. What was I thinking? I said, have you ever seen the ocean before? He said, no. About my age, maybe 5 years younger. So that first day in Puerto Rico, before we went to the bishop's office, we walked to, I should tell you, when we got there was no electricity in the hotel. We were up the fourth floor carrying all this stuff up the stairs in the dark with our smartphones. And we went to the ocean in this big, bulky, brotherly, wonderful man. Stood there and wept. Sometimes I don't know how blessed I am. I've gone to good schools. I've always had food. I've always had housing. But days like that, we lit up 100 houses, driving with no traffic lights. None of us knew Spanish. Our cell phones didn't work properly. I wish we could have done 1,000. But then I knew solar was big and important, not just in places with a lot of sun. Although we heard from Liberia, we have a family in our church from Liberia, and they have a school, and I heard they had 300 students in the school. And school you have to pay for there. It's a whole different system. John knows. 300 students and no electricity at all. So no fans, no lights, no computers. And again, we took a team from CAS, and by the end of the week, they had all of them. So then I started looking, can we reduce our own bills? Because we pay a lot in electric bills at CAS. We have way too many buildings. And we started installing electricity that would give us renewable energy that is good for the planet, not bad for the planet, and uses the sun that God created. And now I'm here to tell you, we have solar at our tiny houses, at our intern house, at our car wash, at our Fox Family Center, and at our World Building. And the World Building is the last thing we did, and I believe it's the largest vertical solar in Michigan. Can we see that video real quick? Thank you. Can we hear the sound? There we go. actually had a donor that I didn't know who gave us the money for that. But it saves us $1,000 a month that we can use in other ways. With all the solar we do, we save about $3,000 a month or over $30,000 a year. So people who tell you solar doesn't work in Michigan, it's not true. The people who live in the tiny homes, they don't even pay an electric bill in the summer. There's enough sunlight coming in to eliminate it completely in the summer. So I'm a big believer in solar. I think it's making a statement at CAST, because if you're poor, living in a poor community, you have the worst of what's going wrong with the planet. You have lead-based paint, and you have asbestos, and you have bad soil and bad water. Remember Flint and bad air from an incinerator? And so to see that you can do something, and even if you don't have a bunch of land, you can go right up a building that was behind it. All right, I'm going quick. Am I gone too long? Okay. He has that eye like, this is a suburban church. You don't get to go until the Spirit's done with you. So we started a clean-out service called Trading Spaces. We clean out apartments and office buildings, and we hire developmentally disabled to do the lifting, and then we give it away and we sell it, and it's become quite successful. We're opening a one-cup car wash. We can wash your car with a cup of water. I'd tell you how, but I'd have to kill you. And then, which will also provide employment and model for people. In a regular car wash where you drive through, you use 133 gallons of water. Water's a big problem globally. So then we started doing green buildings. We renovated apartment buildings and Covenant, a convent, and we have plans to renovate an old Catholic church into a grocery store. If you'd like to help with that, by the way, I'm sorry, John, my board made me promise that I'd ask 1 million people for $10. So if you're interested, I have cards that will let you get there to for $10. But we've also built tiny homes. We have 33 so far. We're starting, so we'll have 40 before I retire. And they take less resources to build. They take less resources to operate. They utilize solar. But here's what I want you to hear me say. As much as I believe in green, and I'm not going to argue with anybody about global warming, I'm just not. I think it's smart to use less resources. We don't need all the stuff we have. But the reason we're doing it is the people we're attempting to serve. So I'd like you to hear from one of the first three people to receive the deed to his home. And that's what this program is about. It's home ownership for poor people. And this is one of the people John knows well.
I was in prison for 11,680 days. I was born and raised in Detroit, and I had a wonderful childhood until Johnny was killed in 1984. He shot himself by accident right in front of me and the other neighborhood kids. He was my best friend. I just got to thinking that I really didn't have any more purpose in life. That's when I went in the wrong direction. I started hanging out with the wrong people. Everything changed. One night, I went out with a couple of my buddies. We planned to do a robbery, but the robbery turned into murder. The judge said, I sentence you to prison for the rest of your natural life. I was 16. My first 4 to 5 years in prison were hard. I got into fights every other week. then things changed again. I started going to school. Before prison, I made it to the 9th grade, but I never learned to read. They taught me how to read and write, and I got my GED in 1991. It allowed me to get a good job in prison, but more important, I could now write the victim's family. I asked them for forgiveness. I knew that I had done wrong. They did forgive me, and that brought tears to my eyes. When Michigan changed the rules about locking up minors for life, I hoped that I could get out. Reverend Fowler wrote a letter for my lawyer to use during the appeal. It said that Cass would support me if I was released. And then they let me out. I was in prison for 32 years. But when I got out, it seemed like everything I loved was gone. My parents and my sister were dead. My friends were gone. Even my housing had disappeared. The first Sunday I was out, I went to Cass Church. Everybody at Cass was nice. I felt like I knew everybody. When I was in prison, the doors closed and all I could see was black. The day I got my tiny house keys, man, it made a world of difference. In the tiny home, I can open and close the door myself. It's real good. If Cass wasn't in my life, I'd still be struggling. I finished the 7 years of the program. Now I own my house. It feels like I accomplished something. I'd like to thank Cass for being with me all these years, because Cass is like a family. Cass gave me hope, and I appreciate that. I can smile. And now I was out. Released.
It's always about the people, but it's also about the planet. It's about employment and housing and food and taking care of the least and the last and the lost. That's what the church is called to do. I hope God uses you in a mighty way. I know you will be used. Amen.
Please pray with me. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for this day and for the blessings of Eastertide. We give thanks for your presence in our lives as we celebrate the wonder of all you have created. In this season of change and renewal, we pray that we will resist the temptation to take this beauty and abundance for granted, and that we will appreciate it and protect it. We realize, God, that though we are blessed with so much, many communities are having a very difficult time. Many have had their lives disrupted by natural disasters, impending or active wars, disappointment, human failures, fear, anxiety, and grief. Help us to keep them in our prayers and step forward wherever we can to help alleviate their suffering. We ask for your help as we reach out to comfort the sick, those suffering from grief and pain. We lift up especially to you, Father, today, the recipients of our prayer quilts, Alice and Michelle. May they feel the warmth and love that is carried in each last stitch and knot. We pray for the caregivers, friends, and families as they provide their much-needed support. We come before you, God, because we not only want to be Christians in our hearts, but in our actions, however great or small. We want to carry forth the Eastertide spirit in our lives now and always with your help. And now let's take a moment of time to share our own prayers and thoughts with God. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
For those words and that prayer. Before the service started, I was talking with somebody and I said, during Faith Sermon, you're probably going to laugh. Well, that happened. I heard it. You might cry. I did. I don't know about you. Hearing the story of somebody getting keys to their tiny home for the very first time makes me proud to be a United Methodist. That we don't just share our faith with our words, but we back it up with actions. As Faith was talking about that document destruction room, it connected me with my own story. That's where I received my call to ministry, listening to those shredders shred those pieces of paper, three sheets at a time, and remembering when Reverend Fowler told us that we had to shred a whole ton of paper before the summer had ended. The other intern and I spent our evenings listening to Tigers baseball games, shredding those pieces of paper, three sheets at a time. Whatever God's calling you to do, I hope you're sensing that God is calling you to make a difference in the world. One of the ways that we do that is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And if this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. Your presence, just being in this room, is a gift. If this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries of our church can continue to be a blessing to others. And at this time, I'm going to invite up Libby, who's going to share with us a little bit of information about the Green Team and some of the work that we're trying to do here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Please welcome Libby as she comes forward to share.
Thanks, John. Good morning, church family. I'm grateful to serve as the chair of our Green Team, and today I want to invite you into the Green Church Initiative. It's a cooperative ministry of the Environmental Justice Task Force and the Conference Board of Global Ministries. We formed our Green Team earlier in the year after a presentation from the more local group, and as a part of it, we started discerning whether or not we could become a green church. Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it, for God has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Psalm 24:1-2. The Green Church Covenant reminds us that the scriptures and the United Methodist social principles affirm every Christian's responsibility to care for God's creation. And more than that, we provide covenant to participate in God's mission of healing creation itself, to consider new ways to participate in God's redemption of creation year after year. Dr. Mark Davies says it clearly, creation care is good news. Good news for people and good news for all life on the planet. He even names it as evangelism. When people see the church becoming a place that cares for people and all life on the planet and sees that we are actually doing something about it, they may be drawn toward renewing love of God. The Green Church Initiative gives us a faithful, practical way forward. Our mission is to build community, evaluate ministry, and commit long-term, making lasting changes that demonstrate faithful stewardship of God's creation. We registered, formed a green team. We've signed the covenant together with the leadership team and the pastor and lay leaders. And we're now in the process of receiving support and guidance about best practices. We complete a baseline evaluation, and we will provide a final submission at the end of it. Honestly reflecting on what we've accomplished and counting planned actions in good faith. The work is organized in 5 ministry categories. One is worship, so we bring creation care into the heart of what we do, creation-centered services, prayers, and as we are celebrating in this new sermon series, celebrating God's creation, the 3-part sermon series, and God called it very good. So thank you, Faith, for starting us out in an incredible way. I'm really humbled by your words. Discipleship is the 2nd category. We connect faith and creation care through educational programs, retreats, study sessions, Sunday school, small groups, and Bible studies, speakers. And today, at 1 p.m. today, we'll have a session on energy, solar power, and the church. And I think you can see from Faith's words how powerful solar can be. And the Green Team will be there answering questions about our initiatives. Stewardship, we're pretty strong at in this church. We've done some evaluation as part of the Green Team, and we're doing quite a few things, but there's many more things we can do. We take some practical actions in waste reduction, energy conservation, and water management. When we buy things, that are more sustainable when we can. The Men with Tools took action before we even started replacing LED lights. But there's more things we can do, thinking about sustainable food practices, using local produce, and even thinking of vegetarian options. On April 19th, we will be having a cleanup at the Brighton campus, and I guess we're going to another place as well. So we'll be doing some cleanup activities. There's also I want to shout out to the Memorial Garden Group, who's done a lot for sustainability and planting pollinators and all that, plants that encourage pollinators to work. And then evaluation or evangelism. We offer public witness through visible green initiatives and community engagement opportunities. The tip reminds us, be seen and heard. Communicate in worship, bulletins, and newsletters, sponsor events, in participation, and make creation care visible. And this year, on April 25th, we'll be having a blessing of the animals. So everybody bring your pets. We're going to have a blessing of the animals at Whitmore Lake. And then mission. We serve and advocate through projects and partnerships. And this is a really mission-focused church, as you all many are you, are, of you are already participating in. We've already been demonstrating that through various things like our annual rummage sale, our scrap metal drives. The team from Redbird always recycles, use tools, things like that. But there's much more to be done. Advocacy is needed because some harms that happen to creation cannot be solved by individual action alone. So we need to speak up, vote, and urge leaders to act on the planet for future generations. So here's my invitation. If you're willing to help the church build community, evaluate our ministry, and commit long-term, please join us. Bring your ideas, your skills, and your prayers. Together in good faith, we can participate in God's healing work so our church becomes more and more a place that cares for people and life on the planet. Thank you very much.
Lord of all creation, bless the offerings we bring to the mission and ministry of this church. Use them to grow us into a people who respect your creation through our words and actions. Help us to walk forward in love, appreciating all you have first given to us. Amen.
As you go on your way, may God go with you. Above you to watch over you, in front of you to encourage you, behind you to support you, beside you to befriend you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the risen Christ, amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.